Hello and welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike and I play with one Pokemon on the field.
I'm Kevin and I have a spot with us.
Pumpkin
Spice Latte.
Do you want to do it again?
No. No.
That's fine.
Listen, if I do it again, it'll be worse.
That's fair.
So we're stopping right now.
Yeah, okay. That's fun. That is fun. That's how we do the podcast. That's how little
editing
goes into this. Yes, we're very transparent. Exactly.
We're very transparent podcast. That's the political way to say it. We never lied to you guys ever. Everything we speak is truth.
And everything we say is fact.
And even when it's not, we'll tell you it's not.
It's true to us. We speak our truth on constantly on this podcast. It is early. It's early sports today. I wonder if there's an actual difference in the way that we act and talk.
We have to go back and make a case study. Ooh. Right? We'd have to pull up all of our PokeSports at nights and all of our morning sports.
I'm sure there are some super linguists out there who are like, they sound a little different today. Is it early in the morning?
I was saying this to Mike on the preach. We got to get used to this because we got the game coming on. What's the countdown for Wednesday? We're on 24 today. So that means tomorrow.
Yep.
It's Tuesday, right? Tomorrow is going to be 23 days.
23 days.
What's 7 times 3?
21. 21.
We're almost 3 weeks away.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, let's say this off the top, because I think the last time we said it around the middle, maybe the end, we are going to be streaming this game quite a bit on the first day and a couple days after. We are actually going to be doing a new type of stream for us anyway, where we're going to be seeing both of our perspectives as we play through the game. We might, you know what, the way that we put it together, I kind of like that for battling too. You know, all our SmackDown videos.
Yeah.
I feel like we can maybe make something like that work too.
Yeah, it's fair. We just have to be in the call at the same time, right? We can still make it happen. Especially for the first couple videos. It's a lot less editing if we're just hopping back and forth.
Yeah. If we're doing anything together, I think that's the best way. I would love to. Oh, what? Somebody,
you guys are wondering what we're
talking
about. Mike put together the perfect screens to have my shot, his shot, our shots together. It's great. You guys are going to enjoy it a lot.
You can see it on the Patreon right now. Patreon.
Oh, yeah. They saw it already. Mm-hmm. Never mind. Yeah.
So go and check that out. We did it with Unite Game over there, and that was kind of fun. We're going to be doing it with Scarlet and Violet. But some people asked us, actually, to do what's the double battle where you have one, I have one, and we're both going against
multi battles.
Yes,
I would do that. The problem is no one plays this darn game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So to get two other people that somehow can contact each other is not that easy.
But we should challenge some other Pokemon people.
That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just multi battle.
We'll see what they think.
Nino and Moxie. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
We are recording this just a short hour after the most recent of today Pokemon reveal.
Most recent of
today, because by next week it will not be the most recent.
Yeah, it'll be something else. Yeah. We'll have the barnyard dog. I don't know.
It'll be another dog, that's for sure. For sure. It's Greavord. We
bark,
got
bark.
A Greavord. Bark, bark. Ooh, spooky.
Throw me a stick. I suck your life.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yeah, it's an energy vampire dog.
Yeah, it's a, listen, you touch that stick, it sucks your life. Done.
So
it's,
I have a recommendation, actually.
Never throw a stick.
Quick little tangent. Yeah, that first off that. But the term energy vampire. I've been watching a show called What We Do in the Shadows. And I hope that somebody has heard of that. It's incredibly funny. All right. It's a comedy. It's kind of like The Office, kind of that kind of style.
Oh, if it's like The Office, I love it.
Yeah. You will love it for sure. But it's all about vampires. Right. And so it's a vampire coven, a vampire house, but done in The Office style. Oh, it's so great.
Twilight and The Office mixed.
Yeah. Anyway, highly recommend. Super, super funny. It's on FX, but you can watch it on Disney Plus.
It looks like it's on Hulu as well.
There you go. So you're good. I can't because Canada doesn't get Hulu. Which
I forgot that existed. Yeah. How do you watch wrestling? Never mind. That's beyond the. How do you guys watch TV?
There's a lot of TV that I don't watch.
Do you have a Hulu equivalent in Canada? Like, is there I don't know, a Sulu?
Like Hulu with a C? It's Chulu. No, I guess. We have Netflix.
Everyone has Netflix. Please. Yeah. Third world countries have Netflix, Mike.
What have I been using? Crave, I guess, is our closest Crave? Equivalent. I don't but know. It's not.
That's a cereal for us.
Yeah, it is also a cereal for us. Yeah, you're right. Huh. So anyway. So yeah, Grievard was a thing. It's just a ghost. It's a ghost dog Pokemon. It has the ability Pickup. We haven't really gotten any extra information past that. It has a candle on its head, and it's got a big old mouth.
Yeah, and a big, flat, fat tongue. It's a Litwick and a Yamper fused. I don't have high hopes for this Pokemon. I could be wrong just because I'm judging a pre-Evo. Mm-hmm. That's all they're giving us. But, you know, typically when a Pokemon starts with Pickup, it doesn't end up with anything good. So I'm just assuming this is going to be both.
Is that true?
Part two. I mean, the only one that I can think of is maybe Diggersby.
Interesting. Okay, so I'm looking at the list of Pickup Pokemon here. We've got all the Meowth line, like Meowth, Alolan Meowth, Galarian form Meowth. They don't turn into anything necessarily worth writing home about, minus maybe the
closest
Meowth.
One is Alolan Persian, I would say.
Yeah.
That's the best one competitively.
Right. And it loses Pickup.
Yeah.
So we've got Aipom, Teddy Ursa. Oh, actually, if we get Ursaluna. Big meaty boy. Phanpy, which we know that there's going to be Donphan in this one.
Yes.
Zigzagoon, both of them. Pachirisu, Munchlax. Yeah, really, nothing too notable so far.
The thing is, like, if it gets Pickup, it never uses Pickup.
Correct.
Pickup
that is true.
Not good.
It's not worth using competitively. Diggersby gets it, but it's huge power.
Would you rather have Pickup or huge power?
Right.
Which would we choose?
So now, yeah, the only Pokemon with a hidden ability of Pickup, that's Pikipek and Trumbeak.
You can keep it as a hidden ability. That's hilarious.
Right? Why is that hidden?
Yeah, the thing that I'm seeing right now is that there's nothing to write home about yet.
Yeah.
Maybe it evolves to something with base 500 plus stats. I'll be interested. It does look like it's going to get a lot of jaw moves because look at its face.
Yeah.
Mike was saying strong jaw, but then he quickly went against it because Bolton got strong jaw.
Yeah.
But even though Bolton got strong jaw, I feel like most dogs have strong jaws. So it would make sense. I would love this. Here's the thing. It goes so in depth as to show us it physically killing a person in the trailer with the whole fetch thing.
Yeah.
And sucking the life out of them until they faint and then it licks their face.
And I've already seen people make comments about, oh, this person didn't actually die. They just fell down because you could still see from their perspective. No. That person was walking around with a camera and the camera was still on.
Yeah. No, that person's gone, dude.
That person's gone. Became a ghastly.
I think the ability should have been more creative. Like, I don't know, ball fetch.
Or like an energy sap.
Yeah. Like or like sap sipper. Something.
Sap sipper.
I don't know.
Except the sap it's sipping is your life.
Life sipper. What if it got a built-in curse, you know? Like like every turn, give me 1/60 of your HP.
Right. Like a built-in, even like a leech seed. Yeah.
Yeah. Something. Or every time you touch them, you leech a certain amount. Well, every single attack you have has lifesteal. That would have been cool. Now they gave me Pickup.
Yeah. Like we're just complaining. Kind of a missed opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah, listen, it could still happen. These are pre-evos. Most of the Pokemon they're giving us are pre-evos. We don't even have first stage evolutions for the starters yet, and we're 20-something days away from the game's release. 23.
Yeah. Kevin made the good point that we haven't really received a lot of evolutions. a lot of decent evolutions.
I have a theory. The reason they're hiding the second the first stage starters.
Okay.
They know Sprigatito's going on 2 feet. They don't want to have backlash before the game releases. They know that it's going on 2 feet. It has to. There's no way.
I think they still have time to change the designs.
No. Game ships like tomorrow to real retailers. They don't have to
do it last minute. They're fine.
Day one patch, they put Sprigatito on 2 feet. On 4 feet.
Day one patch. We've changed Sprigatito's evolution. Patch 1.0.1. We know that we've made a mistake. We're sorry.
Buy my video game. They're all gonna be on 2 feet. Except honestly, the one that I don't see being on 2 feet is Fuecoco.
Really?
I think Fuecoco is eventually gonna get too heavy. It can't stand on its own.
I think it's just gonna evolve into a crocodile.
That's what I think too.
Hold on, wasn't
and
there?
And if they're going with that whole ghost chili thing, and it's a ghost fire type, I could totally see it being like a floating crocodile. Like it doesn't have to even use any feet; just kind of float.
Fuecoco is gonna turn into Lyle Crocodile, voiced by Shawn Mendes. Hold on, I need to show you this.
Boom. What are you showing me?
This is the poster art for Lyle Crocodile. That's just Fuecoco right there.
That is going to be Fuecoco.
He picked up a microphone. He's walking across the street.
The one in the blue shirt is Quaxley.
Perfect. Exactly. There's a lot to talk about Creebird, obviously. It being a dog and a ghost and pickup.
It does have a cool thing where you can only find it underground, so you kind of have to like walk up and talk to it.
So I think that was like the mechanic in Sword and Shield where you got to play with your Pokemon and sit with them at the picnic?
Camping.
Yeah. I think that was like a similar thing. Like, you know, when like the five of them kind of around.
See, I thought that they were going to treat it like, remember when you had
like
to,
a stun in the Isle fisk.
Of. In the Isle of Armor, when you had to catch the Alolan Diglets.
I hope that they do that. Things. I hope that they do that. I just think that the trailer was showing the camping element.
Trailer wasn't showing anything.
Absolutely.
But yeah, according to what people are saying, this camping thing is apparently very important. If you guys don't know, a lot of important content creators that weren't named PokeSports got access to the game early and got to play 2 hours worth of gameplay in a very secluded part of the map. I think they went to the grass gym was the only gym they were able to fight. And they also got to fight
Mara.
The team star Mara, the team star leader for the fire types. And they were saying,
my bad.
Oh, it's Mela.
I keep calling it Mara because I think that's probably what it's what her name is in Japan.
Oh, okay. Mike only plays the Japanese games.
Yeah. Oh no, in Japanese it's Meloko. Never mind. Anyway, I'm wrong about everything today. Go ahead.
I lost my train of thought.
Oh, I'm
well,
so
I was
sorry.
Talking about I was talking about Graveyard.
You were talking about the people who got to play in New York.
Okay, so everyone got to play the game early except for us.
Right. It feels like.
Yeah, but I forgot what point I was gonna make.
That they got to play around the gym, the grass gym, that they got to see.
Oh, camping
some stuff.
Is pretty important.
Camping.
Yeah. Camping is very important. It gives a lot of experience. It increases capture rates and increases rare Pokemon encounters, which apparently is a thing.
Ooh.
It's how you get eggs. I don't know, you know, how it's going to work with Destiny Knot and the old school way of transferring IVs and Everstone to transfer natures. I don't know how any of that's going to work. I don't know if you just have to put 2 Pokemon to camp together and throw the other Pokemon in the party just so you don't accidentally make some hybrids that you don't want to make.
Oh, no.
It's gonna be an interesting time. That much I know.
You have to put a Litwick and you have to put a Yamper together if you want to get a Greavert.
Here's the thing. Here's how they can make this egg thing actually worth my time and not a waste of time. If I don't got to walk around hatching them, perfect. If I just got to make a sandwich and it cracks open, fine. I would love it. That'd be amazing. I can get my team done in literal minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just crack an egg with between every sandwich.
Oh, no. Wait a minute.
Egg is an option on the sandwich. Egg salad sandwich.
An egg salad sandwich with a side of ham.
Yeah.
Give it to your baby LeChonk. Oh, that sucks. Yeah, so people got to play in New York. Not us.
Even though I live...
You live there.
Somewhat there.
You are there.
I wouldn't even have to travel, Game Freak.
They wouldn't have to pay that much in postage. They could have just sent you a little, you know, carrier pigeon.
I could have picked it up.
Picked it up, exactly. Participants, they hopped in around like level 20-ish. Lots of content creators made videos about it, so it's not like we necessarily missed anything, but there was a lot of stuff that was shown that people can't really talk about. So, here we are, talking about what we saw. They got to experience the world. They got to run around on, was it just Miraidon or was it Koraidon and Miraidon?
No, they only got Violet. So they were only,
got Violet. Through. Interesting.
I think. Yeah, yeah.
Because I was watching Sierra's and she said that she got to play Scarlet.
The thing is, they were given gameplay footage. They weren't allowed to share any of their own footage or record any of their own footage.
Oh, okay.
So they were given gameplay footage and they were all on they were all on playing Violet in the gameplay footage,
mm-hmm.
because that's what they were given by Game Freak, but they were probably playing Scarlet or Violet, probably playing both. They probably had both of them hooked up. I don't know.
Gotcha. So the gameplay footage that we were able to see, people were running around on Miraidon, running around, jumping around, gliding around, doing all that good stuff. Kevin and I were talking about this before the pod, but likely what we think is going to happen anyway is you won't immediately in the gameplay have access to all of the things that Miraidon or Koraidon can do.
Yeah.
Much like Legends Arceus, where like you run around the open world a little bit and then you have access to swim and then you go and swim and then you have access to climb and then you can climb. And that way, like, you have to go back to the beginning of the open world and then you get your higher level items and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we know that a lot of the people in the actual previews got to play with like a full, you know, full decked out Miraidon with all the attachments on it. But I'm pretty sure that was just given to them so that they can actually spend their 2 hours doing things.
Right. So they can really just experience the world, open your world your way or whatever their words for it was. They got to experience battling. So you got to have your, what was it? Your Let's Go battles where you just kind of walk around with your Pokemon and all the other Pokemon are out there and you're just kind of like fighting everybody that you possibly can.
We did learn something about the auto battles.
Yeah.
And I think auto battles are going to be great. Mainly for people who already know how to battle and just want to burn through the game to get to the competitive battle, the auto battles kind of do the job for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool as well for EV training purposes because you do get experience through auto battles. I don't know if it's a percentage of the experience you would get through a normal battle. I don't know. But you do get the EVs through those battles. So if you got all the right Pokemon in the right place at the right time, auto battle them, bam, 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 plus 20 in HP, you're good.
I think as long as I can collect items that I can sell, I think that's going to be the big defining factor for me. Is for EV training, we're talking like they haven't already fixed this for two generations where, you know, you can just vitamin your Pokemon all the way up now.
Yeah, but that costs money.
And that's why I'm saying is I would rather farm the money to do that than farm the Pokemon. Because what if a random Rattata runs in? It's like, oh, no, I was farming special attack and now I have one attack and then ruined.
I'm hoping they keep similar hordes.
That would be nice.
Because the thing is, Pokemon always does this intentionally. They did it very intentionally in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon with horde battles. There were certain hordes that would give a lot of HP, certain hordes that would give a lot of attacks, certain hordes that give a lot of special defense. And you can, you know, try to manipulate those hordes with, I forgot the method. It was the sneaking method or something.
Yeah, something like with that.
The grass was shaking. I don't know. It was a long time ago. So I have a feeling that there's going to be certain areas on this map where it's just like, okay, only this Pokemon spawns here.
That's a good point.
This is your horde. This is how you train Eevee. Or, and in that case, it would be faster and cheaper to do it that way. But again, if you're lazy and you have a lot of money, vitamin up, baby.
See, and that's the way that I want to live my life. So within battling as well, the actual battle system apparently works really smoothly. You transition from the overworld to the battle screens really, really well. Not a ton of loading screens in this game, which is great, but honestly, I don't care.
I think they said the only one was the center town is the only loading screen in the whole game.
Right.
Yeah.
If that's the case, great. If not, again, I do not care. I just want to be battling. Like, that's all I care about with this game. But
they, are you not big on open world?
Open
world for me can be intimidating sometimes. Like Breath of the Wild, it took me a couple of weeks to get into because it was so intimidating. Because it's like, well, now I'm lost.
Yeah.
Now I have this big centaur that just keeps one-shotting me and I can't get past him. So what do I do?
I am skeptical on the term open world with games. It's an interesting thing that you bring up where, I don't know, I feel like a lot of games, they throw you out into a big space and say, this is open world, go and enjoy. But you still need to kind of progress it in a linear way if you want to progress at all.
Yeah.
Like with Breath of the Wild, it's a wonderful open world game and you can kind of do things at whatever pace that you want, but it does get significantly easier if you follow one path.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you actually, but the problem is they don't tell you what that path is.
Right.
With Pokemon, it's a little bit more baby mode. We can kind of guess what the path is, right? We know where we start. We know where we can branch off to, and we kind of just follow the path that it gives us, right? It's it's a little bit less complicated, but there's a lot of cool things that you can do. Like say in the beginning, say that I want to do a Larvitar only run. I can go up to the mountain, grab a Larvitar, come back down, start my run. That's always a cool concept as well. Like I know where the Bagons are. I'm gonna go get one, then I'll start playing. You know, it's you can always. I was like the concept of, oh, I'm going to go against an ice type. I don't have any fire types. Let me go find one from anywhere that I know there's a fire type. That's always cool.
Oh, I like that. I like the idea of that when you and I are playing together, like we just kind of branch off at the beginning. We go and search for our friend and then we find our friend. We go and come back together and then we play the game in kind of a unique way. Not necessarily with, you know, Sprigatito and Fuecoco against the world.
That's fair.
The games have been that, like, I mean, most people will just go with their starters the whole way through.
As long as EXP share is permanently on, I don't care.
Yeah.
People who complain about EXP share, go back and play an old Pokemon game. You'll stop complaining about EXP share. I was playing Soul Silver recently. Yeah. You only get EXP share after the fourth gym.
Yikes.
I get a red Gyarados before I get an EXP share. Mm-hmm. Like what? Yeah. I'd much rather just have it from day one, automatically giving XP to all of my Pokemon in my party.
Yeah. That's meanwhile, amazing. Your starter is like level 50 and everything else is level 12. Like,
see, I just put the starter to bed. The thing is, I'm going to use the starter. I'm going to get the evolution of the starter and then probably not use it.
Same.
I'll see. It depends. I do want to see what the evolution is because clearly it seems like they're not going to show us. So as long as I get that third Evo, I'm like, okay, cool. I got the third Evo. Time to go play with something else.
I just want to see what it is. I historically try not to actually play too much with my starter, but just because I know that the hidden ability is usually going to be the really good part of it. And I don't want to ruin the experience of using that Pokemon for myself. I always try to like get the team that will be there at the end as well. You know?
I think me and Mike are also going to have a gentleman's agreement. Since this game is adding like 100 plus new Pokemon, we're only going to play with new Pokemon, right, Mike? I'll catch old Pokemon. Mm-hmm. I won't play with them. They'll be in my box. I'm only going to hold party Pokemon, new Mons.
I can agree to that.
There you go.
That's fine. Yay. So as well, the participants of that event were able to experience the new mechanic, that being Terastalizing.
Oh boy.
Now, a lot of this I spoke about on a recent video that just came out on the PokeSports channel, youtube.com/PokeSports, but Terastalization was a little bit different than what we thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. I'm here for it. It has a defensive capability and it has an offensive capability. Defensively, it changes your type. All right. If you are a electric type Pikachu and you Terra type into flying, like all of us are going to get if we pre-order the game, then you are, for all intents and purposes, a flying type. Ground moves will not hit you unless they ground you. You will take not very effective or super effective damage to things that treat it like a flying type. Offensively, you retain your original typing. So you are now able to use same type attack bonus moves for flying type and electric type, which previously we only thought that you'd be able to do that for flying type. This changes Crazy. A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Changes a lot, especially for Pokemon that have dual types. Mike uses the example of Pikachu, and Pikachu, honestly, in my opinion, is actually going to be very good as a flying type. So if you haven't pre-ordered the game yet, go ahead and do so, because I didn't realize that that's the way it's going to work, right? In my brain, I was like, oh, Pikachu's going to turn into a flying type and then only get stuck with Bounce as a, or whatever. I don't even think it gets a flying type move. It's going to be stuck with a flying type move as its stab. It's going to lose the electric stab, worthless. But no, you get to keep that electric stab and become immune to ground. Yeah. And also still have lightning rod. So that means that you also can't get hit by electric types. That's pretty big, you know? That's pretty big. Especially as a Raichu, like that's a fake out. That's a free air balloon on your Raichu if you just click the button, you know?
People used air balloon on Raichu a lot.
Raichu's a good Pokemon. A lot of people don't realize Raichu's a good Pokemon. I think you just got to stop playing with restricteds for a second to realize Raichu's a very good Pokemon. Mm-hmm. One of the fastest fake outers, one of the best supportive movesets in the game, really fast encore, does a lot of damage for no reason because it has high special attack. They specifically try to make Raichu pretty good.
You know, something that I was just thinking about, I think an underappreciated Terra type is going to be normal. I feel like normal type is a
to
really
avoid that
good,
ghost dog.
Well, sure. But normal is a very, very good option just because there's so many normal type moves. So many like high-ish damaging normal type moves that don't really do all that much. Plus, you get to dodge that ghost typing, which for a lot of psychic Pokemon, that's really good.
I will say, although I'm not too convinced, I mean, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
It's hard to convince me in general about normal being good on non-normal types. I think normal Terra will be great on normal types specifically. I think normal types are fine the way they are. And then just giving that 2x stab boost is all they really need. Because if you think about normal type moves as moves, you have things like Facade, you have things like Return, you have things like Double Edge that do an incredible amount of damage. You have things like Hyper Beam, even if you're trying to go for that one-shot potential. There's things like Heliolisk, which is part normal type, that gets Solar Power, that gets Life Orb, that gets Hyper Beam, that can now Terra into a normal type. That, I think, is terrifying. You lose the ground weakness. You still get stab on your electric moves. You know?
Yeah.
Pokemon like that are pretty good. There's ways to make... I'm more on the fence that Terra's going to be better as an offensive option than a defensive option because you can use the offensive option and defensive option at the same time.
Right.
Right? So people saying like, oh, I'm going to turn my T-Tar into a ghost type to avoid fighting moves. Yeah, sure. But wouldn't you rather turn your T-Tar into a rock type, have it still live fighting moves because it's only a 2x weakness now, and then do 2x with your rock slides?
Right.
That's the way I see it.
I hear that. The thing that I have in the back of my head is that everybody is playing to the types that will be super effective and not thinking too much about what becomes super effective to them. So if you go and rock Terra, your Tyranitar.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. You have a big stab on your rock slide, but you're also still weak to fighting. You're also still weak to grass. You're also still weak to water. You have all of these things that you're now, you know, weak to versus normal. You're just weak to fighting.
That's fair. The thing though, with T-Tar, water, grass, special typings almost exclusively, you have Sandstream.
That's true.
I don't even consider those. Fighting is the only thing you're really worried about. And T-Tar, have you seen T-Star stats recently?
Yeah, he's pretty nasty.
It's like they weren't thinking when they made that Pokemon. I think you could take a fighting type move.
I think they only thought there were going to be two generations.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking when they made T-Tar. They're like, I want Kaiju, but good.
Yeah.
And then they were like, I want Groudon, which is Kaiju, but good.
Yeah.
Every Kaijumon is good. There's not a single Kaijumon that is bad. Think of one.
Yeah, you're right. Mothra. Volcarona.
Volcarona? That's a Kaiju?
I think Volcarona is a Kaiju. All Pokemon are Kaijus, right?
Technically, it's actually pronounced Kaiju Sports.
Kaiju, I mean, podcast. Hey, why not, right?
But I agree with you. I think, I don't know about defensively adding normal, but I think adding normal offensively is a pretty decent option.
It is something that I want to experiment a little bit with, because I think that it has some hidden potential that we're not really thinking too hard about, and that a lot of people aren't really thinking too hard about. And when you find those niches, that's how you win tournaments.
All I know is that this game is going to turn competitive on its side, yes, upside down. People that thought they were good at this game, people that were top at tournaments, are going to literally struggle. People that have never top cutted anything in their life, that have never even attended a tournament, are going to tear things up because they decided to find some cool new niche mon that no one expected. Mm-hmm. There is no way to prepare anymore is the issue. You just kind of got to go in there and hope for the best.
Well, I mean, Kevin. There's one way to prepare.
There's one way. Tell
you
me
can
what
go
that
over
way
to the pokesports.org/damage-calculator and check out your damage calcs now.
We added Terra type to our damage calc. Thank you,
our
Pierre.
Our damage calculator now has Terra types. Thank you, Pierre.
Check it out, guys. It's actually really convenient and really nice. It's still in beta, so if you find weird things that don't make sense, just let us know.
Yeah.
We'll make sure to fix it very quickly. But as it stands, the tests that we have done, it all makes sense for now. We're constantly adding new Pokemon as new Pokemon get introduced as well. So eventually when new Pokemon come out, we'll add those onto the calculator.
Because here's the thing, folks. For people who don't understand why certain things are like this, the damage calculators, you might notice if you're going on multiple different sites that the damage calculators all look somewhat similar. There is an open source damage calculator for all of these things. So you can like just straight up use the code. It is fine to use. There's no like copyright or anything attached to it. It's meant for people to take and to use and to mess with. And so that's what we did. We messed with that code and we have Terra types on there right now. So
yeah, it also takes your defensive calcs into consideration when you change your Terra types. It takes your offensive calcs into consideration. If you had that type before, it becomes 2 times. If you didn't have that type before, it just becomes a regular stab at 1.5 times. I don't know what we decided with adaptability, because that's a weird one.
Yeah. I don't know what we decided either, but it's that one. I don't think we're going to know until the game actually comes out and we're actually able to play with it and do the calcs ourselves. Because, man, like I think the way I explained it in the video is they're going to treat it like stages. And I think that they are going to treat it like stages. Kind of like when Scope Lens came out and everybody realized that Critical Hit has stages that it works with.
Yeah.
Stab is just a +1 to effectiveness. And then tearing into your own type gives it a +2 to effectiveness. And then what's it called? Adaptability plus a same type Terra would be a +3 to effectiveness.
The problem is that adaptability's definition in the game doesn't help it at all.
No, it doesn't.
It just says that instead of a 1.5 times boost to your stabs, you get a 2 times boost to your stabs, which is one stage.
Yeah.
That's the wording.
In the game, it just says a boost. In the game, it just says it boosts in the types, but, the same thing. But in like all of the written
Cerebi
documentation.
Stuff,
yeah.
Bulbapedas, Cerebi, et cetera.
That's right.
They all say your 1.5 times stab turns into a 2 times stab, which isn't necessarily bad if that's all they do. Because here's the thing. Even if it only goes up one stage, 2.5 times is still a lot to have.
2.5 times is crazy, yeah.
That's still a lot.
Yeah.
But even if it doesn't change, that's still fine, right? Say that your 1.5... Say that, okay, you're a normal type and you Terra into a normal electric Porygon Z, right? So your stabs are now normal.
Mm-hmm.
And electric. you already had the 2x stab on normal because of adaptability, but now you just gain a 2x stab on electric. That's still pretty good. Yeah, unfortunately, the normal is redundant, but the adding electric isn't that bad. That's pretty darn good still.
You're absolutely right. I never thought about that, is that you can have two times stabs if you have two adaptability Pokemon. That's actually really sick.
I think for now, we just had the adaptability on the site only not do anything when it comes to Terra, just because we don't know what it does. So if you're going to do adaptability calcs, just keep that in mind. But other than that, calcs, absolutely wonderful. It's working fine.
Now, here's the thing. The people who are practicing or playing the terrestrialization battles,
that exists.
One wonderful person by the name of Sierra Dawn looked at Terrablast.
Thank you, Sierra, Thank for being you. The only person to actually care about a number.
Yeah.
Jeez, man. Out of all the creators, Sierra was the only one to give us the number.
The only one we saw who gave us the base power of Terrablast, that being 80, which, yes. Thank you.
Thank goodness.
That is just the right amount of power, in my opinion.
Am I going to be the one to say it, that we said it was going to be base 80, and now it is?
I listened to it, and I was like, oh, he said 70, but...
I said 70? I'm pretty sure we mentioned 80 would be good
enough. I'm sure 80 is in there somewhere, and if it is, it's going up on everything.
But yeah, 80 makes sense. Timestamp that,
August 26th, let's go.
80 makes sense. Me, I think you, at the very least, Mike and I both agreed that if it can't be base 100.
No.
And it has to be less, you know?
Because it is a lot less. It is a move that you will always get stab on. You will always get either 1.5 times or 2x on. So using a Terra Blast, you're either getting 120 power out of that or you're getting 160, which is nuts.
Here's the thing why Terra Blast also can't be a lot for those of you that are complaining that it doesn't do enough. Because if it was base 100, if it was base 95, then there would not be a reason to use any other move.
Right.
Because you would be out damaging the flamethrowers and the ice beams and the waterfalls. You would be out damaging those. So why use them? This, being at base 80, you're still below those strong stab moves that you would be getting. For example, if you want to say use Nidoking and turn into a Terra Ice type for some odd reason, it would make more sense to use Ice Beam rather than Terra Blast, which means Terra Blast is kind of there as a last resort. Terra Blast is there if you say, I want to turn my Nidoking into a dragon type.
Right.
But I have no dragon moves, even though it probably has outrage, but whatever. I have no dragon moves.
No, so you really dug yourself into a corner. You dug yourself into a corner.
I picked the Pokemon with the most moves. You picked the coverage Pokemon.
Nidoking, the coverage Pokemon.
But you know what? I want a special dragon. It probably gets Dragon Pulse too. Yeah. I don't know what Nidoking
gets. Okay, so especially with this retaining your original typing, you can put a Regieleki with a dragon
blast.
Move.
Yeah,
with
anything
a Terra Blast and dragon move.
Mm-hmm.
It's
which is good.
Yeah.
It means that, hey, if you have a better option, use that better option. If you're going to terrestrialize your Regieleki into an electric type, don't use Terra Blast.
It makes no sense. I feel like Pokemon TPCI has a mandate for inclusivity with their own Pokemon, which I love. I think is really, really great. Where they're like, we need to make all of these 900 plus Pokemon actually usable in the game. And they fixed that in Gen 8 with, first of all, cutting half the decks, but also, you know, Dynamax. And then in this game, same kind of thing, cut the half the decks and then introduce Terra Blast and Terrastalizing. Terrastalizing doesn't necessarily enable as many Pokemon as Dynamax did, but Terrastalizing plus Terra Blast, that does.
Yeah, that actually does a lot. And I like it. It's a way to bring hidden power back in the game, really.
Yeah.
Because say, for example, Xerneas took a big L in Sword and Shield, but if you played VGC in like Gen 7, Xerneas was rough because you also got to use Hidden Power Fire to fight the Steel types.
Yeah.
And a +2 Hidden Power Fire still hurts a lot. And you didn't get that in Generation 9. The issue with Xerneas is that its coverage moves are actually very bad for special. It has a lot of very good physical coverage moves. Like I think it gets Power Whip or not Power Whip, Horn Leech in close combat. It gets a lot of cool physical moves, but you know, that defeats the purpose of Geomancy. And the thing with Xerneas now is that you can have a fire move to fight Zacian again. Mm-hmm. You can be a Terra Fire Xerneas and just say, screw you, Zacian. Behemoth played somebody else, you stupid dog.
That's right. But then also think about this.
You still keep the fairy aura too.
Well, exactly. There's that. My goodness. For sure.
Be wild.
But there's also, in that same vein, there are a lot of physical Pokemon that weren't able to be used because their coverage moves were prior just hidden power. And yeah. Hidden power being, that was a special move, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hidden power being a special move, they weren't able to have that coverage. Now with Terra Blast, it functions the same way that Shell Sidearm does, where it is based on whatever status higher, your attack or your special attack. So yeah. If there are the physical Pokemon out there who want to have those coverage moves, now you just use Terra Blast for it.
Honestly,
you can use
it
the same way as Hidden Power. It's great.
Terra Blast is a great addition to the game for sure.
I love it.
It still disappoints me that out of all the people, I don't know if
it disappoints me that there weren't more people.
Yeah. I'm very happy that Sierra decided to look at the number.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very disappointed no one else did. The thing is, like, I kind of understand why they didn't invite us. Because we would have been all up in those numbers. Where we would have spent the first hour looking at the summary. Just like, okay, is this a physical attack? Is it a special attack? Is it fast? Is it tanky? And then, of course, they're going to hit us with the NDA saying, well, you can't talk about any stats on any Pokemon. We're like, but. Can we at least say if it's specially offense? No. Because, like, part of me wants to think that Armourouge is going to be good because it has like a special close combat. But like, what if they just make that a physical attacker?
Yeah.
What if they give us the old Game Freak treatment? Like, okay, it has all these cool special moves. Sorry.
But it sucks.
That's the thought that I have.
No, I agree. I don't think that they do that. I feel like recently they haven't dropped the ball too hard on Pokemon like that. Mm-hmm. Duraludon comes to mind. Hold on, I need to look up Duraludon's stats.
Duraludon was good for a minute because of Stalwart. It got carried by its ability pretty hard.
It's the fact that its special defense is only sitting at 50 is really, really unfortunate. But yeah, apart from rough. That, it's a decently okay Pokemon. It has a little too high attack for its stat line, but base 535 isn't terrible.
If you switch the attack with special defense, that Pokemon is cracked. True. I think that's the problem.
Oh, there's a lot of physical moves that it gets, huh?
Yeah, it can be physical, but it doesn't want to be.
No.
Just in general. Just like, if you can be, like, if your attack and your special attack are evenly split, mm-hmm. you most of the time want to be special and not physical. It's very hard to make a case for being physical unless you have literally no other type of Mons on your team.
Well, I think the fact that it gets Dragon Tail, is how do I explain this? It's a nice coverage ability that still does decent damage because of its attack being so high.
There were sets
that
would counter Dusclops Rhyperior back in like early Sword and Shield where you'd run Dragon Tail in order to counter Trick Room because Trick Room's -7 priority. I believe Dragon Tail is -6 or it's low, but it's not the lowest.
Right.
So you'd be able to Dragon Tail them out before they're able to Trick Room.
You're right.
And then since you have Stalwart, you could also avoid Indeedee redirecting you away from stopping you from doing that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So there does actually have some pretty cool niches there.
Mm-hmm. Duraludon's a good example of a Pokemon that gets its set near the end of its leveling life, right? Like it gets
most flash dragons.
Most dragons do, right? Flash Cannon, it gets at level 54.
Jeez.
Yeah. So you really have to kind of push that thing up if you want to
be usable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. But that's that was kind of the gist of what we got out of the experience that people had in New York.
At least the competitive experience.
The competitive. I personally, we're really excited for the gameplay. I am trying to stay relatively unspoiled just because I know I'm going to blast through it anyway. I would rather be surprised while I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, it looks like Pokemon is really trying to keep it close, you know, keep all this information really close.
Yeah. I feel like we knew a lot more about Pokemon Sword and Shield.
We definitely did.
Like at this point. I feel like people already had the game at this point.
How many days are we away? Almost 3 weeks? Around 2 weeks is when they start shipping to retailers, so I'm sure that we're going to get spoiled eventually, but we'll try not to. We'll definitely not spoil you guys.
Much.
We might accidentally. Just listen at your own risk.
At this point, you kind of do, though. Like, you kind of have to listen at your own risk. Like, you have to watch everything at your own risk. Because, like, I think everybody at some point has been exposed to some sort of spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, at this point, it's pretty much leak season for Pokemon. Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. You gotta be careful. I don't know if I mentioned this in the last episode. I think I did. But in Pokemon Unite, Zoroark's coming.
Oh.
Yeah.
Another dog.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
I have been exclusively playing Clefable, and I feel dirty doing it.
Good. You should.
Yeah.
Clefable is very good. I'm sure you've noticed.
Yes. The fact that I'm just like, without trying, healing at least 50,000 damage every single game is just nutty to me.
Yeah. And I've officially completely changed the way that I play Delphox. Instead of going for the spinny, I go for the full mobility. It's so much fun just being able to run away. Yeah, I have flash. I have flame charge. Mm-hmm. The cooldown on those things is hilariously low. If you get to level 12 and then get a blue buff, it's literally a second that you just keep firing and moving and firing and moving and firing and moving. It's great.
Wow. And I think we're going to go play that. So,
yeah.
thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. If you are watching this on the video version on patreon.com/pokesports, that is where that lives. Go and check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/pokesports, because we put out new and interesting, I think, in my humble opinion, I think all of our videos are rather interesting. Pokemon videos. You can go and check those out. Kevin, you got anything going on this week?
Just a bunch of battles. End of series 13. Don't know if I'm going to play series 14. I guess I'll have to. We'll see.
We're running out of days in the month.
I mean, the thing that I thought that was going to be, that I can do that can be pretty interesting with series 14 is that every series 14 battle that I have, I'm only going to use Scarlet and Violet Pokemon only.
Oh, okay.
Like Pokemon that were officially revealed through Scarlet and Violet, plus two restricteds. Obviously, I have to stick the two restricteds in there, but the rest of the team will just be a bunch of like Titar, Salamence, etc.
Right.
It'll be cool.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Did we ask a question this week?
Oh my goodness. Oh, geez. Wait a second.
Well,
before
we read the questions, here's your question for next week. Go play with our damage calculator. Mike will leave you a link, and then give us funny calcs with Terra.
Go and give us your funniest calc.
Yeah, I want to see Terra doing some things.
Oh, no, it would have been tragic if I missed this question. This was a good question. If you could play with duplicate Pokemon, what would you bring?
Duplicate Pokemon?
Yeah, so there's a tournament coming up, the Ultimate Finale, right? Where
you
can bring as many of any Pokemon as you want.
Zacian. I want to sign up with just six Zacians to prove a point.
To prove that you'll get banned.
First. Now, I want to get first with six Zacians just to be like, this is what you did, Game Freak. This is what happened.
Look at what happened. Exactly. And funny enough, Joel Williams, very first comment, just bring six Zacians and pretend that I'm one of the legendary spammers in Showdown Cheese Strategy videos on YouTube.
Perfect.
You know, that is a subgenre of YouTube video that I have not dove too hard into. Is the Showdown Cheese Strategies. Yeah.
I mean, those are always a classic.
They're always fun, for sure. Dino Apple says six Appletons. No more, no less.
Perfect.
This is the Appleton guy.
There won't be any ice types to fight you.
It's why?
I don't think so. There's not going to be an ice type. No one's going to pick ice.
Not when you're facing six Zacians, I guess.
I mean, you could just go max HP, max defense.
Mm-hmm.
Iron defense body press over and over. It'll do damage eventually.
A team full of ninjasks. Either I win or lose, and either way, it'll be quick. Now, I want to take that a step further and say a team full of Shedinja, where either you win or you hard lose.
Right? All you have to do is face one Calyrex Shadow.
Yeah. And then there's six Ditto, so we don't have to think about team building. I like that.
Perfect.
I will play something stupid like Greedent, because why not? Sure. That's a good one. double Grimmsnarl for potentially eight supportive moves. What do you like?
I love how everyone is just having a team full of the same Pokemon. No one wants like half of a team this, half of a team that. They're just just give me six.
I am purposely saying the team full ofs first.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll get into the splits. Like Sylveon Mewtwo, who says three Sylveons, hidden ability, and three Mewtwos and doubles in a round team with backup abilities. If round doesn't work, P.S. my new Sylveon, Sylveon Rivera, says hi. Oh, nice. Got a new Sylveon.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's see. Dunsparce, Choice Scarf, Headbutts, no Ghosts, please.
Oh, Choice Scarf, Headbutts for the 40% flinch. Respect.
Mm-hmm. Yep, true. Let's see. Zacian, Groudon, Kyogre, Reshiram, Zacian. Yikes.
Zacian, Groudon, Kyogre, Zacian, Reshiram. Done. Welcome.
I like how Yogurt here had two Zacians off the top and then three legendaries and then another Zacian.
That's because that's what you need. Yeah. You got everything you need.
That's right. My ultimate team, two Zacians, two Zamazentas, two Calyrexes. Hey, you know what? That's very Sword that's and Shield of too. You. Good for you.
See, I would change that. I would say two Zacians, two Calyrexes, one Zamazenta, and one Whimsicott, because you don't need two Zamazentas.
A Whimsicott's an interesting one.
Yeah, you just got to be faster.
Yeah.
Or you just Trick Room. You got both options.
Cool. All right. Well, then that is how we'll end it. If you dropped off the podcast when we were saying goodbye, like a normal person, then welcome.
I hope you learned a lesson.
Welcome to
not
the post game,
stick
I guess.
To the end.
Yeah, exactly. you missed it if you left. You know what? The people who are still here, thank you. Folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.